Morning. He's going to read our scripture for us.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you, Landon, for reading the word to us this morning. Joel, thanks for the updates. And Jonathan, with our online giving, that's all cool stuff. And we've got we wanted to pretty things up here on stage, so we're going to have Adley mix in and see. Yeah, really. Yeah, I get that. But she's going to be mixed in with us on doing our praise time, so we're excited about that. If you would like to stand, please do so now with your voices and hearts.
God is able.
For the Lord, our God.
bright heaven sign. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Morning. So it's great that it's finally the spring season. Can I get amen? All right. It's my favorite season. So this is the time when our spring wildflowers are starting to bloom and a lot of our animals are coming out of hibernation, such as reptiles and amphibians. A lot of our spring summer migratory birds are starting to migrate through the state. And a lot of the sounds of spring are among us. Now, I know a lot of the sounds you'll probably be listening this time of year are frogs and toads. And you might be wondering, why do frogs and toads, why do they make their calls? Well, it is the breeding season for these frogs and toad species here in the state of Ohio. But you ever been told that you've been a loudmouth before? I know my wife has. Well, in the frog and toad world, that's actually a compliment. See, when you're hearing, usually at night or sometimes during the daytime, are the males. And the louder the male is, typically means he is healthier and he will produce better young. And our earliest frog that calls here in the state of Ohio is the wood frog. They usually will start calling in February. And our latest are typically bullfrogs and green frogs, and they usually end about August or September. And during this time, the females, they're going to be honing into their particular species. Now, there are going to be actually sometimes you may have multiple species simultaneously calling at the exact same time because their goal is they don't want to be eaten by bullfrogs and green frogs. And when you hear the sounds, it's not that typical ribbit sound that we typically use when growing up when we're learning about different animal sounds. A lot of the frogs will make creaking to peeping, almost duck-like sounds, and sometimes even a screaming sound. Sometimes it's creepy. And I feel bad for some of our frog species that have to share a pond or so with spring peepers. And if you're not familiar, they're the little ones that are about this big around, and they make that loud beep, beep, beep sound. You probably heard it before. And I'm going to let you listen to a very short clip. I think it's only about 8 or 10 seconds long, and I just want you at least just hear how many species you think you can hear. So go ahead, John, play that sound. So you probably only heard maybe one, possibly two species, but actually there were more. And just imagine you're a female frog that's not a spring peeper, but you have to overhear all of that and other additional species as well. Sometimes it would feel overwhelming, I would say, for a female frog. But how I wanted to relate this communion meditation is we need to be more like the female frogs to hone into God. See, it's very easy to hear what the world has to say, especially today. It's easy for God's word to be buried with what the world wants to teach us, which is basically to stray away from him. And sometimes we can stray away so much, it seems sometimes impossible to hear what God has to say. And like I mentioned in last month's communion meditation, I believe, you know, when Jesus was asking God the Father if there was probably another way not to be crucified, his thoughts and feelings at that time were overwhelming him so much, he probably lost some simmer of focus that was probably gone. But I think the more he talked to God the Father, he came into terms of God's plan and honed into God the Father. And sometimes we, including myself, we need to take a moment and try and to hone into God's word over this noisy world. And as we take communion at this time, let us try to drown out the world's noise out and hone into God the Father and focus what the bread and juice resembles as Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. John 8, verse 47, whoever is in God hears the word of God, and the reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And in Mark 4, 24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. And as we mentioned, it is the spring season. I know a lot of fun things are coming out. And Lord, I know the world is a very, very noisy place with a lot of things that man has thrown out. And I know the goal is to drown your word and your ways. But Lord, I ask you, as we come to this time, let us hone into you. And as what your son did on the cross to cover our sins, and as Joel, when he comes up to give his message, not let us help apply to our lives, but also to the world around us. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. We pray this in your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
that I was all alone, broken and afraid, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Well, I didn't even know that I had lost my way, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Till you opened up my eyes, I never knew that I couldn't ever make it without you. Even though the journey's long and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain of God. And as I travel on the road, you have let me down. You are here with me. Yes, you are here with me. And I have need for nothing more. Oh, now that I have found that you are here with me. Yes, you are here with me. And like this, from time to time I lose my way, but you're always there to bring me back again. Even though the journey's long and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain of God. Sometimes I think of where it is I've come from and the things I left behind. But of all I've had and what I possess, nothing can quite compare to what's in front of me. Yeah, what's in front of me. Yeah. Even though the journey's long and I know the road is hard, one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain. Yes, I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain. Yes, I must go through the valley. Thought that I was all alone, broken and afraid, but you are here with me. Yes, you are here with me.
All right, kids, you're welcome to head down to Junior Church this morning. Or if you're just excited to listen to me, you can stay here. You stay with me, Bryson? All right. That's fine with me. Yeah, I know. He's a grown man. So, all right. I want to read this. It's not really a quote, it's more of a story than a quote, but Charles Malik, you probably haven't heard that name. I read this story. Charles Malik, he's a Lebanese ambassador to the United States. He asked in a speech one time, what has been the greatest American contribution to the rest of the world? Has it been money? Has it been food? Has it been medical skill? Has it been military might? Or has it been industrial know-how? Then he answered, The greatest thing to come out of America has been the American missionary effort. The quiet, selfless men and women who have left the comfort and security of their homeland to bring the gospel of Christianity to less favored nations. That's a huge statement to make by somebody who actually appreciates a leader of his own country, Lebanon, and has seen the efforts of the American missionary come into his country and make a difference. Seeing Christ make a difference in the lives of his people. He's seen a lot of things. The world sees a lot of things coming out of America. Some of it, they look out for the handout, for the money, for the food, or whatever we can give them. Some look for leadership. Some look to see how are we doing things in the industrial world, and they copy that. But here we have a world leader here, an ambassador to United Nations here, recognizing that no, the greatest thing you have exported out of America, basically, is what he's saying, is Jesus. That's a huge, huge statement made by someone by the other side of the world. You know, we hear about churches all the time that are mission-minded. I put that in quotes a little bit. And I said at the beginning of the service, I accidentally used the phrase myself. But, you know, I get to thinking, no church should have a missions program. You heard me right. No church should just have a church missions program. Why? We are the missions program. We shouldn't have to come up with a missions program. We are the missions program that Jesus set up right before he ascended into heaven. He set up the missions program in the church. And he said, it's going to be you. You are going to be the program. Missions should be one of the main purposes of any church's existence. It should be our total thrust from the nursery all the way to the elderly of the eldest, I don't know how I want to say that, the oldest person in the church. That should be the main thrust of every single church member, church goer in the church, is missions. Missions minded. If you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is getting ready. He's finished. He's accomplished everything that God gave him to accomplish here on planet Earth. He has preached. He has taught. He has revealed the mysteries of God. He has set up disciples, taught them, prepared them for the world. He has died on the cross, taking the blame, taking on all your sin on his shoulders. He was buried in the tomb. He has raised from the grave. He has defeated the power of death, and he is now with his disciples, ready to ascend back into heaven, getting ready to sit back on the throne of heaven, awaiting for the day where he is going to return and take back what belongs to him. And this is what he tells his disciples, his last instruction to us. To Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He's already telling them, you're going to have all the power. You're going to have all the access that I had access to when I walked the earth. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will have this power. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He's commissioning the missions program of the church. You are going to be the missions program. You are going to be the ones that are going to spread the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ throughout all the world, and you're going to do it until I return. And I lie, I didn't put this as my scripture, but if you read farther down in that chapter, right after Jesus ascends into the heavens, then you have the disciples doing what? Staring up to heaven. Jesus tells them, he just commissions them to do this great missions work. He ascends into heaven, and the disciples are just standing there stuck. All right, when's he coming back? That's just how silly man is sometimes. So God had to send a couple angels if you read farther. And basically what the angels had to tell these disciples is, okay, now go do it. Go do it. Go be who he's called you to be. He's going to come back, but it's going to be later. And he's going to come back exactly how he ascended. So go and do what he's called you to do. So Jesus says, when he early on in his ministry, his main job, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, God is a missionary God. That's why he sent his one and only Son, to seek and to save his lost. If we are going to be Christ followers, if we are going to be Christ imitators, if we are going to have the Holy Spirit, the living, breathing Spirit of God living in us, we are going to do as Christ did. And Christ was very much a missionary Christ. He was all about seeking and saving the lost. The Lord expects us to be involved in bringing lost souls to him. That's why Jesus had to give that last instruction, so that man would get it. Okay, I'm leaving now. I gave you everything you need to know. I revealed all the mysteries of God to you. I gave you purpose. I gave you a will. I'm giving you gifts. I'm giving you talents. I'm even giving you my Spirit to guide, protect, and empower you. Now go and be the missionaries of the church. Go do what I have just done as an example. Coca-Cola seems to be everywhere in the world, and I know Coca-Cola is going through some weird stuff right now with changes and things like that, and their people aren't happy with them, and I'm not happy. But Coca-Cola is everywhere in the world. If you travel the world, my brother, part of his job, he travels all over the world, and Coca-Cola is there. But how does it get there? This motto I found was posted in the, it still is, it's posted in the company's headquarters, and it explains how Coca-Cola gets everywhere. Their motto is, think globally, but act locally. Think globally, but act locally. That's how we're going to get our product everywhere. That's how we're going to get our message everywhere. Think globally. Think about everything in the world and act locally. Get to know the culture. Get to know the people. And then give them what you think they need. We know what people need. We don't think. And we don't have to wrap it up in pretty boxes and pretty cans and stuff. But Jesus has commissioned us to think globally and to act on that locally. It is not good enough to sit in our nice, pretty church. And God has blessed us with a beautiful building. And he has empowered us and given us tools necessary to upkeep this building. But he expects us to leave this place and to think globally. And in order to do that, we have to know what God's doing. We need to get on our knees and ask God, what are you doing? What are you doing all over the world? How are you moving all over the world? Where in the world do you want to move next? Whose lives are you going to change next? Who are you going to send? Could it possibly be me? So if you had to define what is biblical missions, and that's what we're talking about today on Faith Promise Sunday. We're talking about biblical missions. Biblical missions is simply taking the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard and not been saved. That's biblical missions. Taking the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard and to those who have not been saved yet. Kind of sounds like evangelism, doesn't it? You and I have both been called to be mission-minded, globally mission-minded. Yes, there are people in Knox County, Morrow County, Richland County surrounding us that need the good news of Jesus Christ, and they need it now. That is part of your mission field. God has planted you in those places. He has planted you in workplaces. He has planted you in communities. It is by no accident that you live next to the people that you live and have access to the people you have access to. But Jesus says it doesn't stop there. I am a global God. I have a whole planet full of people who need to hear the gospel message. I have a whole planet of people who I have created who need to know that my son Jesus died for them just as he died for you. Their sins can be forgiven just as your sins have been forgiven. And they need to hear. And how will they hear if nobody goes? How can they hear if nobody speaks? How can they hear if nobody lives the purpose and the will of Jesus? So biblical missions is not feeding the poor. Although that is great, it needs to be done, and it's not to be neglected. It's a Christian thing to do. It's a godly thing to do, but that's not what biblical missions is. Biblical missions is not helping the starving people of the world. Although that is a wonderful thing, and we do that, and we help in that. That's not biblical missions. Biblical missions is not just sending doctors and teachers to third world countries. That is good, that is needed, and we do that. The only way that any of those things that I just mentioned, even helping widowed mothers with wayward children, that's not biblical missions. The only way those things are biblical missions, or the way they become missions, is if they are used as a tool to bring the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people. Those are all tools that God has given us to get into a community, to get into a home, to get into a country, to share the saving news, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. The greatest book on missions, if you want to, is probably the book of Acts. You want to know how to do missions and what the biblical definition of missions is, read the whole book of Acts. Paul was probably the greatest missionary apostle in the Bible. You want to know how to live the life of a missionary? You want to know how to spread the gospel? There, nobody did it like Paul. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. He was willing to go when God said go. He was willing to stay when God said stay. He was willing to sacrifice a life of freedom. He was imprisoned many times for the sake of the gospel. The only thing that mattered to Paul was that the gospel was being preached and the lost were having the opportunity to hear the good news that there is a God that loves you and there is a God that cares enough to die for you and there is a God that wants to live for eternity with you. So this morning I want to note pretty much four mandates about missions. If you're following along in your outline, yes, I'm sorry, I'm just now getting to point number one. And I'll go through them quickly. The first thing we got to know about missions is all without Christ are lost. We have to remember that every single day. And I know that seems like a simple thing, simple basic thing. But if we took that to heart and it was on the forefront of our minds all the time, we would be doing missionary work all the time. And we would not be able to hold the bodies in these pews that were coming to Jesus Christ if we were truly doing what God has called us to do. We have to remember all those people out there who are without Christ are lost. And if all are not lost, why do people go to hell? We need to think about that. If all these people who don't know Jesus aren't lost, then why are people going to hell? If they're not lost, then why did Christ Jesus die? Why did he die? If people aren't walking around the world today lost and without hope, why did Jesus die? There was no purpose in that. If all are not lost, John 3:16 is useless. It's a lie then. John 3:16, if you don't know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For those who believe in him, to have everlasting life. If lost people, or people without Jesus weren't lost, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. If all are not lost, then why, oh, why did Christ commission his disciples to go into the world? And that's exactly what he did. Jesus looked at what he was leaving. He saved the planet, but only for those who hear and accept the truth that Jesus is the Christ. He's the one and only Son of God. And he's the only one who has the power over death. And Jesus commissioned his disciples. So if that wasn't true, if people aren't lost, Jesus would never have commissioned that missionary effort. And if all are not lost, why preach? Why preach Jesus? Why teach Jesus? So I know it's silly for us to think, well, of course there's lost people, Joel. Then why don't we act like it? Why don't we do something about it? You have family members who, according to the Bible, are going to hell today without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why isn't that more urgent to us? To share the gospel with them instead of being so worried about what they think about me, what they think about my life. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt. Let me tell you, Jesus offended a lot of people. We're living in a world where everybody's offended by everything. We're offended by Mr. Potato Head now. Jesus offended a few people when he was here on earth. He offended a lot of church leaders. I'm sure he offended his own mom too a couple times. She got frustrated with him a couple times. All for the sake of doing what the Father places before us. Jesus gave you one job when he left earth. Go. Go and preach the gospel to all the world. So the second mandate that we have, knowing that all without Christ are lost, what else could we say in point two is the gospel will save the lost people. If we know there's lost people out there, there's an answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? You know, we throw that word a lot in churches. Preach the gospel, preacher. Go out in the world and teach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is simply the power of God for the salvation of everyone. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells you that. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone. There's huge words there. Everyone. The gospel message is for all peoples, all creeds, all tribes, all gender, male, female, children, black, blue, white, green, purple, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how full your life is of sin, the gospel is for you. And it has the power to change a life. There is nothing on planet Earth that'll change a life forever than the gospel message. There's a lot of things that will change your life. Drugs will change your life. The birth of a child will change your life. Getting a new best friend will change your life. Getting married and living with a spouse will change your life. Working out with your son every day will change your life. None of that is forever. You will lose those things. The only thing that will change a life and has the power to change a life for the better, for all eternity, is the gospel. The power of God's salvation that is given for all people. This is what people really need. They do not just need humanitarian charity. That gets you into the door sometimes. That gets people's attention. It is a tool that God gives sometimes. People need forever the grace of Jesus Christ. They need his forgiveness. They need to be baptized in his baptism, raised anew and be transformed into a new life, a new creation in the eyes of God. That's what missionary work is. If you had a cure for cancer, it would be absolutely criminal to withhold that. If you could save everyone on the planet from dying from any kind of cancer, and you kept that to yourself, how greedy, selfish, and evil would that be? You have the cure for sin. You have the pass out of hell. And we want to keep it in our pockets? We're scared to share it? Let me tell you, for a life that really grasps a hold of that and understands how deep a pit they are in, full of sin, and how great it will be when Jesus rescues them from that pit, that life will be changed forever. They will become totally different. Dependent on God and not other people, dependent on God and not their government or their peers or their spouses or their friends or their family. They are going to have a joy that is unexplainable. They are going to have a peace that is unexplainable, and that will change a life forever. Why would we keep that secret? And that's what we are trying to do with global missions, to change lives forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Which brings me to number three. Every Christian is responsible to take the gospel to the lost. This is something that gets lost sometimes in church. A lot of young Christians or a lot of people that don't completely understand the gospel put all that responsibility on the preacher and sometimes the elders. That's their job. Let me tell you, when you stand before the world and you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, I believe he is the Son of God, you are baptized in his baptism, let me tell you, you become one of two things. You are either a missionary or you're still a mission field. You're still going to be somebody needs to work on to teach you about Jesus. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ, once you've accepted his forgiveness, and once you've accepted his mercy and that gift of salvation for eternity, you become a missionary. You are no longer a mission field. Once you are baptized, and once you claim Jesus as your Savior, you now become the missionary. Which means you now, the one that was being discipled, are now going to be the one who is going to make disciples. And then those people are going to make disciples. That's called bearing fruit. Remember Jesus said, I expect you to bear fruit. I don't just expect you to bear fruit. I expect you to bear much fruit, which means I expect you to have spiritual kids. I expect you to have spiritual grandkids. I expect you to have spiritual great-grandkids. Generations should come to know Jesus Christ because of your missionary effort. This is not an optional thing in the church. And I've heard this many times and I've said it myself. Well, you know, evangelism, mission work, that just goes against my nature. That just goes against my personality. That's just not who I am. I can't do that. Let me tell you, that is not an option. Because let me tell you, yeah, that goes against my nature too. Public speaking is completely against my nature. Meeting new people for the first time and striking up conversations, let alone bringing up the name of Jesus, that goes against my personality. But when we decided to follow Jesus and obey his command, which is go into the world and preach the gospel, and I took that seriously when I was in my 20s, what did he promise us? You will have power in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to speak when it goes against your nature. You will have power when it goes against your personality. Those of you who are introverts, I'm one of them. I will empower you to meet people, speak to people, love people, open doors for people to know the gospel, to get to know the gospel. The closest thing to the heart of God is winning lost people for Jesus. That's what missionary work is. Which brings me to number two. So what can you do for missions? That brings us kind of to faith promise here. What can you do for missions? I've just told you that you have been called to be a missionary. You have just been called to pay attention to God's global work. First and foremost, if you want to write them down or you're going to remember them, pray. Prayer is the most important form of a mission support there is. I gave you a list. I left mine in the pew. But you have a list of how many are there? Missions do we support? Seven? You got seven missionaries. Seven missions there that our church has decided to support. And we're not just supporting them with money. Take that list home. I really hope I don't see these lists in the pews or in the basement down by the bathroom like I see a lot of papers that get distributed. Take those papers home. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your nightstand, whatever. And begin praying for each one of those. Lift Starting Point up to the throne of God every day. Lift up our Bible colleges. Lift up ACT. ACT has access to thousands of college students that you will never have access to, but they do. Be praying that God will open hearts, melt hearts, that those men and women can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ on secular campuses. They minister to the University of Toledo and the Bowling Green State University. They have access to thousands of people that need to know the gospel. Pray for them. I read a story, an amazing story about prayer. It said, during the time of the Iranian hostage crisis, many of you remember that, some of you are too young to remember that. Remember the Iranian hostage crisis. Missionary Greg Livingston was asked to give a missions moment at a large evangelical Christian church on the East Coast. Since he only had a minute to speak, he decided to ask them only two questions. He had thousands of people here ready for a missions moment, and he asked them two questions. The first one was, how many of you are praying for the 52 American hostages being held in Iran right now? 4,000 hands went straight up, and he said, praise the Lord. He asked the second question. Now put your hands down, and let me ask you another question. How many of you are praying for the 42 million Iranians being held hostage to Islam today? Four hands went up. Thousands of people. Four hands went up. Four people were praying that an Islamic nation would come to know Jesus Christ. Folks, we have been called to pray more than that. There is a world out there that we like to think is our enemy. Because if they're an enemy of the United States, that means they're our enemy. No, they're not. They are men, women, and children who were created by the same God you were created by. They just don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know His love. They don't know His life-changing power of His gospel message. Pray for them. We have a foreign mission in Nigeria. Pray for them. They're on your list. Pray for them. Sometimes they are in danger, physical danger. Pray for them. Pray for the people that they have access to in Nigeria that you will never have access to. The people that we think of as enemies will become friends in the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. That story I just told you, the Lord used that challenge to give a wake-up call for the gospel to the Muslim world. And because of thousands of people praying for the people of Iran, there's a lot of Christians that have been praying for them. More Muslims in Iran have come to Christ since 1980 than in all previous 1,000 years before then. Since 1980, and I know that seems like a long time to some of you. To me, it seems like yesterday. Since 1980, more Muslim people in Iran have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior than 1,000 years before that. Why? Because people are now praying for them. They're praying that their eyes would be open to the truth of Jesus Christ and not to the lies of man-made false doctrine. Second thing you can do for missions is encourage. I invite you to encourage our missionaries. Go beyond praying for them. Take that list and write them a letter. Send them an email and just say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I know you're out there. I know it's not easy. I know you don't have enough money to do what you would like to do every day for Jesus. But I want you to know I'm behind you. If you want their address, ask me, ask one of the missions people. We'll get you their address. If you need their email, I'll get you their email. Look them up on the internet. You can find probably both. But I have access to that, and I can give that to you. If you want to send them a letter of encouragement, you would be amazed how much one letter of encouragement does for somebody. It could get them through the rest of the year. You have no idea. Every once in a while, maybe two or three times a year, I get a little card from individuals that's just two or three lines of encouragement as a preacher that just tells me, I love you, I appreciate what you're doing, I see what you're doing, and I'm just praying for you, and I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. That is a huge lifter. Every Sunday morning, I got mine this morning at 7:15. Every Sunday morning, I get a text from a fellow preacher that tells me, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for your church. Go preach the gospel. Go preach Jesus. And he gives me a little scripture there. You know how encouraging that is? You know how ready I am to preach the gospel on Sunday morning after getting excited with another brother? Encourage. Number three, give. And that's what we're doing with Faith Promise, obviously. Those of us living in the land of plenty, and we are, those of us living in the land of plenty must learn to share what we have so that the gospel can be taken to those who have never, ever heard. We can all sacrifice a couple of cheeseburger dinners for the opportunity for 20 people to hear the name of Jesus Christ spoken for the first time. We can all sacrifice a brand new whatever for 100 people to come to know the name of Jesus Christ. My wife and I have been blessed beyond belief when it comes to missions and being able to give what God has given us. I've shared it with you before. For the last 12 years, Joel was 10 when we started. For the last 12 years, we've supported a little girl on the other side of the world. Her name's Nyasha. Mary and I give her $200 a month. I probably spend 10 times that on my own kids here in America. Nyasha now knows Jesus Christ. Nyasha knows her Savior. She has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. She's a 22-year-old young lady now. And I just got a letter that not only is she a Christian, all these other, we're so proud of her, and I know this doesn't really have a whole lot to do with my sermon, but I want to share it. She's 22, she's a Christian young lady. She's out in the world. All these other young ladies are learning how to be beauticians. They get money from their sponsors, and they're going to school to be a beautician or learning how to cook and do this. Our Nyasha's going to school to be a welder. She's going to be a welder, and she's going to welding school. And we are excited about the lives that she might be able to tell someday about Jesus Christ and whoever she's working for in the welding field. So, talking about prayer, pray for Nyasha. She's 22. She's out there in the world. She has no mom and dad. She calls me and Mary, mama and papa. She's never met us face to face. She's out in the world, essentially alone, outside of what we give her and the support she gets from one of the missionaries out there. That is a life that has changed because we went without DirecTV for the last 12 years. Seriously. We live in the greatest country in the world financially, one of them, financially. It is our responsibility to give and help these missionaries preach the gospel. And the last thing I want to suggest to you beyond giving is to go. Less than 1 in 10 churches, that's the current statistic, less than 1 in 10 churches are sending churches. We don't send people into the mission field. We're not raising up missionaries. We are not sending people to Bible college to learn about how to be a missionary. The Great Commission says, go into all the world, and 1 in 10 of our churches are sending people out literally into the world. That's something for us to pray about, something for us to start practicing, is to go, and if nothing else, just start these 7 missions that we're supporting financially, pick one and go meet them. Starting point is on the other side of the county. They're 30 minutes away from here, if that. Go visit their facility. Go meet the nurses. Go meet the director. Go see the ultrasound room that they're giving pregnancy ultrasounds and helping young women make decisions to keep their babies instead of having them aborted. Go and find out what their work is and what you how you can help with them. Go to Heartbeat. Go to ACT. Go to Bowling Green University. Go to the University of Toledo for a weekend. Find out what they're doing. And I know it's a little bit harder with Corona right now. You can work it out. Bowling Green University, during the football season, they have a couple nights where they pass out hundreds and hundreds of hamburgers to college students after the football game. Just to get to know, get to shake their hand, get to know them, get to know who they are. Find out when that weekend is and go help serve hamburgers for a Friday or Saturday night. Go. If your heart leads you to go to Nigeria and you can afford the plane ticket, go to Nigeria. Meet the missionary there on his turf where he's serving and be an encouragement. Mary and I have been praying for years to go to Zaire, Africa and meet our Nyasha. And the airplane ticket is expensive, for one. And every time we think we're about ready to do it, we got enough money, you know, the world throws something in and we have to pay for something else. Sometimes I think that's the enemy working. But I would encourage you to go. I read a quote, and it didn't say the author. But it said, if you're expecting great things from God, attempt great things for God. If you're expecting great things from God, attempt great things from God, or for God. So we have the opportunity today to be part of a world and local mission. You have the opportunity. I gave you all cards. Does everybody have a card, a yellow card? Most of them are yellow, that have your commitment on it. You don't, like I said, you don't have to sign it. If you want to fill out, and it doesn't matter what you put in, if you want to give $1 a month, that's a start. If you want to start today praying for, encouraging, giving to missions, and to be a global mission family, individual, and church, I would encourage you to fill out that card. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you've already filled it out or you're filling it out right now, or if you need to take a week and pray about it and bring it back next week and give it to one of us or give it to me, you can do that. But for those of you that have already filled your card, I'm just going to ask you to pass them to the outside of your aisle, whoever's on the outside of your aisle. Joanna, that would be you. We're going this way. All right? And I'm going to ask Reese and Gavin, can you, while we're singing our invitation song, can you collect those? Reese, if you want to collect the ones on this side, and Gavin, you can collect the ones on that side. And and then for right now, just give them to Warren, guys, and Warren and I will make sure they get to the right place. Our invitation is twofold this morning. First and foremost, what have we been talking about all day long? Knowing Jesus Christ. In order to do anything in the name of Jesus, you have to know Jesus, and you have to have a relationship with Jesus. So like we do every Sunday, we invite you to have the opportunity to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never made that decision before, this all starts with Him. If you need to get right with Jesus, if you need to accept His gift of grace and mercy, acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, and He alone has access to heaven, we invite you to come forward. We invite you to be baptized into His baptism. Today's your day if you need to do that. For those of us who have already taken that step and we've made the commitment to follow Jesus, you have just been commissioned by Jesus to be missionaries. And I invite you to take seriously the missionary work God's called you to, financially through Faith Promise, daily in your workplace or your raising of families or in your retirement. And God's put a path for you in front of you in your retirement and the people you have access to that we will never have access to in your retirement. Go out and be a missionary where God's planted you. Take seriously that call from Him today. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our invitation song, and it sounds like those two, or it looks like those two already collected the sheets today. But let's ask God to do some miraculous, huge things through our Faith Promise this coming year. Father God, you are an amazing God that does amazing things, and we know that you never stop moving. Your Spirit never stops moving. We know that the enemy is roaming the earth like a lion, seeking to devour everything and everyone in his path. But Father, we know that you are greater. Death has already been defeated. The enemy has already been defeated. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will send each and every one of us in this building out today into your world to be light and salt in a world that desperately needs to see the light of your hope and the light of your grace and the light of your forgiveness. Father, empower each and every one of us to have the name of Jesus on our lips this week, to speak the gospel, the saving power and grace of the gospel to those who are lost and are going to hell if we don't speak. Father, give us opportunity this week to be in the lives of people who need to know Jesus as we know him. Father, we love you. We give this day to you. And Lord, I ask that you will bless our Faith Promise program this coming year. I ask that you will bless the gifts that are given to it, that the people that receive those gifts will do miraculous things in the name of Jesus on college campuses, in crisis pregnancy centers, in orphanages in Africa, wherever the money gets sent, Father, in the future training of preachers and teachers. I pray that the name of Jesus will be exalted and lives will be changed forever. Lord, we ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing our invitation. And if you need to make a decision for Jesus, you come do that today.
I love to tell the story of the unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Jesus.